As I keep my eye on an uncharted territory, on being challenged, on growing and having fun, I thoroughly enjoy living. This is Dr. Harrell Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Inspiration. As I keep my eye on an uncharted territory, on being challenged, on having fun and growing, I thoroughly enjoy living. What does it mean to keep your eye on an uncharted territory? Well, you live in the now. Can you tell me, in very simple terms, can you tell me what you're going to be doing a second from now? I'll probably be sitting here, yeah. But not really, because you could pop off. You could think of your father. You could think of your father and think of a time you were with them and had a great experience. And that could be just a second from now. That doesn't take long to think that thought and be there. So that's the uncharted territory that we get into and get involved in. Now, what uncharted territory is interesting to you? Well, now, a lot of people say the uncharted territory that's interesting to them is being their spiritual self. The uncharted territory that's interesting to them is being abundant, being rich, or having a healthy body, or a healthy mind, or for our friend, being out of prison. Now, is that really true? And of course, the answer is no. You don't want a healthy body, you don't want to be rich, you don't want to be out of prison, because if you did want that, you would be. And the reason that you would be is because every thought you think would be out of prison thought, a healthy body thought, abundance thought. But you do think about not having enough money to take a trip you want to take. You think about not having enough money to pay your bills. You think about not having enough money to give a present to someone that you'd like to give a present to, you know. I think that's one of Faith's little games. She loves to give presents. Give presents, the most exciting thing in the world. And she'll take her money and she'll buy presents for other people. And then she'll be short on money. She doesn't have enough money to have her hair done and things like that. And I should take pity for her when she gives presents to people with her money? No way. That's her choice. Now, if you want to give presents and not eat, that's okay. But don't come to me and say you're starving, because you have plenty of money. You have plenty of money for all the food that you need or would like to have. But if you're going to use it poorly, then of course you don't have money for what other people might think is necessary for your food, but you don't think it's necessary either. You don't need it, you don't want it, and therefore you give it away. It's silly, isn't it? Now, how do we give away good health? We give away good health every time we say we are not healthy. We are lying to our divine purpose, our divine pattern, but we're not really lying, because we are saying we are not healthy and we are not healthy. We are not lying, therefore. We are just experiencing that is an illustration of not being healthy. Now, do you want to be healthy? If that is one of the uncharted areas of your life and you want to be challenged by it, then you just create yourself a body like, what was his name?
Sam.
Hmm? Who?
Sam? Sasu?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm thinking about the Philosophical Society. The Philosophical Society in Los Angeles on Felix Boulevard, I know all that stuff, was run by Manly P. Hall. Manly P. Hall. And Manly P. Hall, from early years on, was in a wheelchair. All his life, he's in a wheelchair. And he wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote. And I believe he traveled the world, too, or else he did it by thought. But he wrote beautiful. He wrote many wonderful books. He developed a great following to his teaching, to his philosophy. And his philosophy is interesting, not quite ours, but interesting. And as you read it, you find that is a little traditional this way, and a little traditional this way, a little traditional this way, for whatever field he's writing about, which is just fine. But that does not develop a philosophy. A philosophy is a specific way of thinking about things. Now, Socrates was a philosopher. Socrates did not develop a specific philosophy. He did not develop the philosophy of Jesus, the philosophy of Buddha, the philosophy of any of these people. He merely developed the philosophy of to think. How do you think? And what is it that you want to think about? Do you want to think about whether rabbits taste good or not as food? Or do you want to think about vegetables tasting good as food? And you say, well, that's sort of interesting. But yeah, that's a philosophy. Now, what does he say? What does he say? He said, I always have abundance around me. I always have sufficient food around me. I always enjoy the finer things of life, and they're always around me. And he would say to the people who come to talk to him, why do you think that way? What's the reason for you having that opinion? Not that the opinion is right or wrong, but what's the reason for you having that opinion? Now, that was his philosophy. His philosophy was teaching people to think. Not necessarily what to think or how to think, but just to think. And to recognize that they are thinking either constructively or destructively in whatever area they're thinking. Now, I would say majority of the people who studied with Socrates or were with him had no idea what he was doing. They had no idea of the subtleties and the nuances that he was sharing with them. Plato understood, but very few others did, because they went away with this thoughtful opinion of themselves, and they said, that's me. Yeah. Now, as one day Socrates will understand, you know, not realizing that it was the very thought of Socrates itself that taught them how to think. So, as I keep my eye on an uncharted territory, on how to think, for instance, and I'm being challenged, like Manly P. Hall with his body unable to get out of the wheelchair, I have a definite understanding that Manly P. Hall was not tied to the wheelchair all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I know, but I know that at night he oftentimes leaves his wheelchair, and he does many interesting things. Many interesting things. He led a very seclusive, reclusive, quiet life where people did not know what he was doing. After his help, you know, got him off to bed or wherever he wanted to go, they went somewhere, and then he did his thing. Mm-hmm. And this is what many people do. Because, you see, he wanted to draw attention to what he was sharing and teaching, mm-hmm, rather than to himself. And if he'd drawn attention to himself and the wonders that he was doing in his life, people would have wanted him to be their Jesus, and he had no desire to do that. So we want to grow and have fun. That's a major part of our life. We want to grow and have fun. But what do you call growing, and what do you call having fun, and what do you call growing, what do you call having fun? Totally different. Totally different. And I mean totally different. One of you likes to play tennis, and the other likes to play golf. Now, that's not so totally different. It's a sport. And one of you likes to play tennis, for instance, and the other likes to do crossword puzzles. Or one of you likes to play tennis, and the other likes to take long treks into the wilderness with just a backpack and forage their food out of the wilderness, learning what herbs and seeds and so forth to eat that are found in the wilderness. And how does a person come back from the wilderness?
Healthy.
They come back uplifted, healthy indeed. They come back fantastic, because they are taking themselves away from the judgmental universe that's all around them, the vibrations of that, and living in their own vibrations that everything works beautifully. Now, that's a beautiful thing to do. That's a beautiful thing. And the person who does that is not the same person that loves to be president of the United States, that loves to be the political boss somewhere, that loves to be a storekeeper. Oh, my goodness. Think of a storekeeper. You want to have your own little store. So, night and day, you stock your store. You can't afford to have help, you know, not in the beginning. So you fill it with a commodity yourself. And you have to go out on the limb and borrow to get the money to fill it. And then you have to be open during the day to sell it to people. And you have to know what amount of money and markup you have to give to it. And you know that you paid 10 cents for that, and you're charging 90 cents for it. And you have that little guilty feeling in you that you should really give it for like maybe 40 cents instead of 90. But you know that if you give it for 40 instead of 90, you won't be able to run your business. And so you have to become very crass. You know what crass means? You have to become very crass and very cold. And you have to say, this is business. This is the way it is. Now, we saw Hans Christian Andersen last night, and the part without the dancing was great. The dancing was great, too, but the part without the dancing was great. And he was a cobbler. He mended people's shoes and made shoes and did all these things. But he did it with such a joy and a love in his heart that his shoes would be fun to wear that he played with, you know.
Okay.
Because he put so much goodness into them. And he had a lovely little studio right in the middle of the city. He had a very charming little house right there. They had a couple of bedrooms and a couple of, probably a kitchen and a dining room and living room, you know, and the little cobbler studio that opened out on the street. And it was very charming, very charming. Now, what did he do wrong? What he did wrong was to spend most of his time telling stories to the children. Now, that's wrong if you want to be a successful businessman. Yet he made enough money for himself to do that. He had enough money coming in so that he could talk to the children, tell them stories, and tell adults stories too. And his stories were so charming that everyone just had to be happy about it, even the schoolmaster. Mm-hmm. Now, the schoolmaster, we find, had to be happy with it after he found out that the rest of the world applauded him and made him famous. And, of course, when that happens, what happens? Now, when he wrote the story, and the ballerina, ballet director said to him, we must pay you for this. That was the farthest thing from his mind, mm-hmm. The farthest thing. And he never gave another thought. When he went to the newspaper office where they called him, and then they made a proof of the story that was going into the paper that he wrote, he was just delighted. Now, again, and then he said, and they said, if I give more stories, they'll pay me. Now, what do you think they pay him for that? The stories in those days, you know, they didn't have a lot of money. The newspapers were not that expensive, and like maybe a penny a piece. And so if he got maybe 5 cents for the story, that'd be a lot. But, of course, in those days, 5 cents was a great deal, too. And this is enjoying yourself. This is being yourself. This is having fun. This is what Socrates did. He just did what came to his heart and spoke to him. Hans Christian Andersen, he did what came to his heart. The Brothers Grimm, I'm sure, did their thing in the same way, in the very same way, although they were part of the royal court, and they told these stories in court. And that's what made them famous, you know. And this is beautiful. Now, where are you? Where are you on this here? I thoroughly enjoy living. Are you thoroughly enjoying living? Mm-hmm. Or are you looking at other people's problems and saying, oh, that's terrible, or that's good? Or are you looking at your own problems saying, oh, that's terrible, that's good? What are you doing? Are you being yourself and being happy? Do you love the uncharted territories that are thrilling and fascinating? Do you love the challenges which bring out the very best in you, the most talent that you ever dreamed you had? Do you like growing up and expanding your consciousness? And do you like having fun? They all sound good. And the way I put them, they sound really nice. But life's not always that generous to us. Sometimes We suffer under more difficult circumstances. We have cancer in our body that's eating away, and we don't know what to do about it. We do know what to do, but we don't want to do it. And what's the thing that you do? If you have cancer eating away, what do?
I'm whole and perfect.
That's right. When?
Now.
Oh, thank it's you. Simply. Okay. You see, that's what you do. Now, if you have no money?
I'm rich. I'm independently.
I'm enjoying my abundance.
That's right. I'm rich. I'm independently wealthy. I'm enjoying my abundance. What is all that? Those are merely statements. Those are merely causes you're putting in motion to have a wonderful result. Now, do you really want that? Do you really want that? Well, if you want that, I say to you, go for it. Go for it, and you will find that the minute you go for it, it pours out of you in your life in more wonderful ways than you could ever have imagined. So, as I keep my eye on an uncharted territory, my dreams, my desires, my goals, right now, I'm being challenged right now, because the world isn't going to give us our dreams and desires and goals we think. As long as we think it, that's a challenge. But the minute we recognize, hey, everything goes from me good, then everything comes to me good, I am just the source of all that's good and wonderful. I'm growing and having fun. A lot of times we don't want to grow. We say to grow is to limit us. Who says that?
Nobody.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The little children who grow up and they come home and their mama treats them like little children yet. And so then they sit on their mama's lap. Ah, get off, you big oaf, you know. But growing up is fun. But also, it brings changes in things. And thoroughly enjoy living in everything you do. So, this is my blessing to you today. To take this instant inspiration and flow with it. I love you. I love you. I love you.